you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do. All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Welcome to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Stacey.
And I'm Sarah.
And today we have two very special guests, two new hosts. One of them you've heard already, Heidi.
Hello.
And also Ariane, who Hello. You may have heard on the last episode. So today we are talking about several subtopics under one large topic. So we are talking about Japanese things.
Because is that the technical term?
Yes, Japanese things. And I could try and spin it into a whole thing of, oh, the next Olympics will be at. But really, this was just sort of, I kept thinking of it. And therefore, if I have to think of it, you all have to think of it.
It can't just be in Stacey's brain.
No, my brain can't fit all of that. I have to outload some of it. So our first topic today is Zen. Do any of you know about Zen?
Little bit.
Little? Like, how are you Zen right now?
No.
I could be if I meditated a little bit, though.
That's true. What about you, Heidi? You know anything about Zen?
Only from movies.
Like?
I just think of, like, Kill Bill, which really isn't very Zen.
Right.
Like, they're in Japan, you know.
Okay.
There's a scene, a fight in, like, a Japanese garden. It's probably...
True. Japanese gardens are usually thought of as Zen, despite possible murders happening in them. Mm-hmm. But, so, Zen was originally a school of Buddhism that originated in China during the Tang Dynasty and was strongly influenced by Taoism and emphasizes rigorous self-control, meditation practice, like Ariane said, insight into Buddha nature, and the personal expression of this insight in daily life, especially for the benefit of others.
I feel like it's taken on a different
yes.
tone in pop culture, though, because we tend to think of it like Zen as like just sort of chill.
Right.
You know,
modernized it.
Right.
Yeah, that guy's so Zen.
And there's a lot more in what you just said than just being chill.
Well, I mean, chill's probably in there somewhere. It's too cool to come out. But so, Ariane, when you meditated, was that something that was emphasized to you, the whole Buddha nature thing?
No, I just kind of researched that on my own, but it definitely helps. I started meditating maybe 3 years ago.
Uh-huh.
So, just... started out small, 10 minutes here and there. I kind of made my kids do that with me just because it does calm them down. If you're like, are you bouncing off the walls? Uh-huh. Let's meditate.
There's some schools that actually do meditation in place of detention, I've seen.
Huh.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
Couldn't we just do nap time in place of everything else? I want a school that would have let me nap. But so anyways, Zen has a number of practitioners that has helped bring it from the more Buddhist state to the more pop culture state, including a person who I will make Sarah say, as she does so well with the pronunciations.
Thich Nhat Hanh.
Yes. And that person describes Zen as a one-pointed aware mind, a disciplined life of simplicity and naturalness as against a contrived and artificial one, a life compassionately concerned with our own and the world's welfare, and not self-centered and aggressive. A life, in short, of harmony with the natural order of things, and not in constant conflict with it. So that sounds pretty nice, without, you know, having to go to a temple for the rest of my life.
Yeah, just reading that, I feel Zen.
I felt like it was a lot of words to describe Zen.
Maybe that's why I felt Zen.
Maybe.
Just
the words.
By the end of it, you were just like, I can't have the energy
Stop
to do
listening.
Anything.
It just sounds good.
But also, I think you see this in things like Zen and the motorcycle one. I don't remember. But just the idea that you could put Zen with different things, like Heidi said, with the surfers, but also something to do with motorcycles, which don't seem very Zen because they're loud and noisy and dangerous. That this idea that Zen can be within whatever your life is.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So today, for this first segment, we will talk about 10 steps to Zen. And each of our segments will have 10 steps because not that 10 means anything special. I just managed to
find 10 steps. Will we then achieve Zen in the podcast?
Well, I hope so, but I can't promise that.
Okay.
There is no guarantee or warranty with this podcast.
Goals.
So anyways, Heidi, if you will start us off with the 10 steps to Zen.
All right. 10 steps. Number one, simplify your daily activities down to the essentials. Second, do a mind cleanse. Reevaluate your dreams and goals. Establish a daily routine for your life.
All right, let's start with those four. So, simplify your daily activities to the essentials.
Oh.
That sounds so much easier said than done.
Seriously, when you think about it, you got a million things going on in your head, and you're like, just pick five.
Pick five, pick three, pick one, even.
Have you heard of that book? This is not exactly this topic, but where you're cleaning out your house and you're supposed to hold each item and say, does this
Sarah,
item...
Sarah.
Okay.
Sarah always wants to jump ahead.
Never mind.
I let her do it because she pronounces things well, but Sarah, stop it. We will get there, I promise, because this is all about different Japanese concepts, not just Zen.
I don't like to read ahead. It ruins the surprise.
You know, you just talk ahead. There's a difference.
Maybe I'm just brilliant.
She is.
No, I'm not. Go ahead.
But then, simplifying things down to the essentials just in life, I find hard to do even on a day-to-day basis of, like, what's even just the most important thing for today, because it feels like you have all these little minuscule things that keep you frantic, and it's just like, but that's not essential, is it? Like, I mean, yeah, I probably do need to do that thing, but laundry's not essential for today. Essential maybe for life. I probably want to do clean clothes at some point. But
I like to tell myself that laundry is not essential. That's what I cut out first.
Dishes aren't essential. Taking out the trash isn't essential.
Depends on if it smells like fish.
I mean.
True.
Well, is that essential?
Your house smells like fish.
But maybe if you just get zen enough, you know, you just
zone it out.
Or might just be that Sarah has her own set of essentials that are different. And for her, not smelling like fish is a main one.
It's just because our house smelled like fish today, so it's on my mind.
Speaking of mind, the second step, do a mind cleanse.
Nice segue.
So that's what you need to do, Sarah, is mind cleanse your mind of fish. I don't know what you... have a cat come through your mind and,
I'll
take
work
the fish
it.
Out. Yeah. Mind cleanse, and I know this comes up probably in meditation, right, Ariane, of sort of clearing your mind and not thinking of things.
That's the goal, they say, is to just kind of clear it and... instead of having it be so busy and worked, just don't think about anything. So that's why they say, like, if it helps to listen to certain music, feel the vibe of the music or the rhythm of it and just go with that.
Does that work? Because I've also heard to, rather than clearing your mind completely, which is very hard for a lot of people, more of that thought has entered my head and now I'm moving on and not dwelling on it or, you know, not focusing on it.
Right. And I think that comes with practice because at first that's what I did, just a few minutes. And then it's like, oh, wait, I had to do this. And then you got to pull yourself back out. Just think about that later after this 10 minutes or 5 minutes or however long you choose to start yourself out with.
Right. Okay.
How long did it take you to kind of get into the mode of meditation, like to be able to just let things come in and then leave? Did that take a couple practices?
Yeah, definitely. I would say more than a week or two, because just trying to meditate in general, it's like, what do you do? Am I doing this right? Should I be doing anything else? Am I sitting properly? Am I listening to the right music? You're just, you know, but then after all of those thoughts go in your head, it's like, let me just do what feels right to me. And then set yourself on a kind of routine schedule. So that's what I do after like a quick 20 minute yoga core workout, then meditate for 10 minutes after and, you know, try that daily. But then it's just kind of routine after that.
Well, then I like how that ties in to the daily routine step, which is actually followed by establish a home meditation practice. And I will just completely skip that step because meditation and I do not get along. Other steps include identify the resistance and remove it, or lean into your problems, don't run from them. But I will also skip that for meditation just because meditation and I don't get along. become aware of dualistic thinking.
Okay. What is that? Does anybody want to jump into that?
Like, yeah, that one threw me off when I saw it. I was like, I think I can and then I think I can't, or...
Well, the way I perceived it was... with the dualistic thinking, I took this as a, you want to do one thing, but you're meditating to try and better yourself for something else. But then your old ways, I guess, quote unquote, keep coming back. So you're just like, I can do it all. I can do this and that. kind of, that's how I perceived it, though. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, dualistic thinking to me kind of correlated to like having a full mind, like kind of thinking of a few too many things at once or things that conflicted.
Well, and that would also go along with the next tip, which was to live with the energy of mindfulness. And then the tip after that, to do one thing. That one especially for me feels really hard because I always feel like I have 1,000 things that I can never get done. My to-do list never shrinks. So I need to multitask. And wasn't that the whole thing we learned about, you know, in this century was, oh, we're all really good at multitasking, even though science has shown us that multitasking is not actually a thing.
Right.
I have a friend who has been practicing mindfulness for a couple of years now, and her husband bought her, it looks like a Fitbit, but it's a mindfulness. It's not an app because it's like a watch, but it keeps track of, kind of like a Fitbit, but it helps you to keep track of, I guess, your body rhythms and those types of things. I don't know if it reminds you, hey, take a minute and shut your brain down for, but I thought it was fascinating that they have basically a Fitbit for mindfulness.
Right.
Wow. That just sounds like a mind reader watch.
Yeah.
Right. How scary is that?
Yeah. Right? I don't want my watch reading my mind. Stop it. But then our final tip, which is respect and appreciate life. Even if, like me, meditation is a bane in your existence. I respect that meditation is difficult, and I appreciate that I am not forced to do it. And on that positive note, we're going to take a short break. Stay tuned.
The average sedan is built with a steel frame and equipped with 6 airbags. Remember this the next time you see someone walking. Drivers, be aware. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety. The average SUV has 2 blind spots, weighs between 4 and 6,000 pounds, and takes about 6 seconds to stop. Remember this the next time you're on foot. Pay attention, people. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety.
Welcome back to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast. Our second topic today in this sort of Japanese better living concepts, the one that Sarah wanted to jump to so early on, is KonMari. And this is from Marie Kondo, who wrote The Magic Joy of Tidying Up. And I know, like you said, Sarah, this was a big thing a few years ago. Everyone was talking about this. I actually ignored it for a while, and then they actually made a manga version of the book, and I'm like, well, if you're gonna put it in pictures, then I don't have to read as much about
but
tidying
you love
up
to read.
I do, but not about tidying up. That's not exactly a topic I'm like, oh, buy that, yes, give me 500 pages on that.
Yeah, that's true.
So I was like, oh, hey, pictures, not as much reading about essentially cleaning my room. Okay, cool. But I did actually quite like that, and I do think she has an interesting concept. So, like Sarah mentioned earlier, her whole concept is about being mindful about the things you own, and so only surrounding yourself with things that bring you joy, hence the title of the book. But this means then that when you go through and do your sort of decluttering, you actually have to be somewhat detached from things, which I know can be really hard for people. Like, even things you don't even use. It's like, but I did, or I might someday, or I bought it, so why not? Do either Heidi or Ariane, do you have that problem of, like, too much stuff?
No, I have no problem throwing things away. I know
so
people
envious
in my family have a problem with that, so I'll, like, wait till they leave and be like, they don't need this, I'll throw it away, and then they don't even notice that I did it for, like, a week, and then they're like, oh, yeah, where was that? He wasn't even noticing that a week ago.
I am so envious of you, because even when, like, I'm like, I know I don't need whatever it is, and I haven't even looked at it in 3 years. I'm like, but if I one day then really want to, you know, wear it again or read it again or whatever, and it, I struggle with it.
But how does that, so, I mean, that's nostalgia. Some things are nostalgic. They don't serve a specific purpose. You know, let's say you're, like, I have 2 of my grandfather's sweaters. Do I wear them all
right
the time? No, but they bring me joy, so
right,
I do not get rid of them. Mm-hmm. I've moved 26 times since college, so I have no problem throwing things away whenever I move, but I also have things that I'm like, can't do it, can't part with it.
I've also heard about nostalgic items is some people who are, like, really trying to go for minimalist, they say you can just take a picture of the item. and then keep the picture and get rid of the item, which doesn't feel the same to me.
It doesn't,
especially if you're really committing to it.
Right. I can see that. You know, if I was off to live in a tiny house, maybe I would I would do that. But, like, for instance, when I mentioned my grandfather's sweaters, I don't just want a picture of my grandfather's sweaters.
Right.
So it's, you know, maybe if it's an armoire or something that's really big, I don't know.
Or even in that case, if it's something like you got a souvenir from on your honeymoon or something,
right?
But you don't ever use that, whatever it is, you know, that tiki lamp I'm going to go with that you got. Well, then fine, take a picture of that. But if it's something like my grandmother handmade this, well, then by all means, yeah, that I probably would want to keep.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So for this, they do, KonMari does talk about the nostalgia things, but you're supposed to save those till the end. So I've tried to do this, and thankfully the first two steps for this are books and then clothes, because that's as far as I got. A, I was tired, but B, it was like, well, I'm not going to go through like the kitchen stuff because that's not all mine, so I can't really. I've got a lot of books, I've got a good amount of clothes, I'm good after the first two steps, I'm done. But she does have a whole order that you're supposed to go into, and you leave all the nostalgia things till the end, because her thought process is that by then you'll have gotten used to throwing things away. But I'm always worried that, like, people will have lost all the strength of their willpower by then. I want to keep everything that was once important to me. I can't give up anymore. I'm tired.
The reverse effect.
Yes. So, Ariane, if you want to start us off with the 10 KonMari inspired tips, and these are not her tips themselves, just tips that go along with her method that I found.
All right. So there's have a vision or imagine your ideal life, create a KonMari plan, categorize, tidy by category rather than by room, collect everything of the same category in one space, take before pictures.
All right, let's go with those first five. So having a vision / imagining your ideal life, she definitely starts off with that. I remember that from the manga. And there's something in the manga about the girl really likes her cute neighbor, but she's horrified about the trash on her balcony. And so imagining, like, a nice, neat apartment in which you could invite the cute guy over and not be horrified. That's clearly the goal of your life there. And I'm like, okay, I mean, that works for her. But what if your ideal life is, you know, to be, like, a billionaire? That's, I don't know that organizing your, like, you know, two-bedroom apartment is quite good.
You have to make room for all your billions.
Oh, is that
well? There you go.
Okay.
Well, then you would just hire somebody to do that for you at that point.
But you're not a billionaire yet.
You have to make the room to have the billions to hire the person.
Stacks of money.
That sounds like a terrible cycle.
What was she thinking?
It's like those questions they ask you. You know, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Well, 5 years older, A, but B, my life has taken so many turns I didn't expect that I am never where I thought I would be 5 years ago. So. Maybe that's just me.
I guess with KonMari, then you'd be like, well, in 5 years, maybe I'll have less things.
Maybe. Right. Yeah.
I might have gotten there by 5 years. It might possibly have happened. But then also the KonMari plan, if you do type in, like, KonMari checklist or whatever, you can find a number of these, including some that are, like, actually sort of nicely, I won't say illustrated, just, like, the lettering's done very pretty. And I'm like, oh, yes, I'm going to organize and my room's going to be all pretty. Like, if you seriously type in pictures of this, all the organized rooms look so nice, neat, and pretty. And then I get to mine, I'm like, yeah, but my house isn't that pretty to begin with. So, like, my closet's not going to look that pretty because it's dark and ugly. I don't care if I can, like, space out my shirts. So,
Oh, that's me, definitely. Yeah.
Wait, what did you just say?
Well, like, if you look up the pictures, you'll see that. And one of these, especially with the clothes, is, like, being able to fit all your clothes onto, like, a 3-foot clothes rack.
Okay.
But with, like, spaces in between all the shirts.
See, I heard you say licking something off your shirt. That's why I was like, what?
Space between the shirts?
I don't know what I have to get really clean. Yeah.
Really clean.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I'm just going to move on to the next one, which is to categorize tidy by category rather than by room. This is another tip that KonMari herself does do, because the idea is, and I hope it's not this way for clothes, but for things you have around the house, like papers, when you get to your papers, well, your papers might not all be on your desk. You could have papers on your desk and then on your couch and then, like my mother, on your bed, even though somehow she can sleep with those there. The idea is to have all your stuff in one space rather than by room, so you can see how much you actually have and not just think, oh, I'm going to clean the living room, because then you're going by different things.
Makes sense.
So I actually like that tip, but again, it was very exhausting, like carrying all my clothes and then all my books into the living room, because that was the only place where I had enough space to lay them out to see them all, And then having to carry the ones I wanted to keep back was just like...
Yeah, that's a lot of moving around.
Right.
Like different rooms in your house, carrying items.
I think she's helped by being Japanese. In the manga, there's only really, like, the main living space is the living room and dining room and kitchen. You can see everything from there. It's just, like, one thing and then a bedroom. And I was like, yeah, my house is not like that. There are multiple rooms and doors and hallways and walking around corners. And this is heavy. I'm tired.
I'm just thinking of my parents' house where, I mean, they've lived there for 40 plus years now. And they've got two attics and a basement. And my dad has a huge shop and a carving room and a carport and a shit. I just like gathering everything from all of those places just makes me want to. I just don't even want to start. I'm going to go take a nap.
Just move.
Yeah.
Right. Just need to leave the house. We'll sell it at the end.
Well, we joke, and this is terrible, but we have a weird, stupid sense of humor in my family. We're like, both of you have to die at the same time. We don't want that to be for very, very, very long time. You need to die at the same time. We will lay you out on the master bed and just bury the entire house.
You don't even want to go through it.
Well, my sister and I used to joke with my mother because she's not the most organized, and she does somehow put like half her bed is covered with stuff and sleeps just fine. I sleep all over my bed, so I can't understand that at all. But we used to joke, you know, like, if we let you go on long enough without stopping you, you could end up on Hoarders. And we are not going to be that family who ends up on Hoarders, so stop it. And that's sort of, I think, what appealed to me about KonMari is because it's like, the antithesis of Hoarders, and I'm like, no, I am definitely not going there, so let's go the other direction.
That's your vision, you know, that's your ideal life. It's just avoiding being on Hoarders.
Right, that is my
first step is done.
But then also, the next step of take before picks, I don't know that I want to take before picks.
It's just going to remind you of what you're throwing away that you wanted to keep.
Well, and also how close to Hoarders I was. It's like, I was so close, I just was just on the edge. Let's not remember that at all. But then, Heidi, do you want to read the next tips?
Become a master folder, which is very interesting.
Yeah,
I'm picturing origami.
Yeah, exactly. Just origami shirts.
Yeah.
It says, no matter the original shape, the basic principle when folding clothes is to create a rectangular shape. Once you get that rectangular shape, the rest is easy. Fold in half or thirds, depending on the height of your drawer.
Yeah, so my grandmother worked in retail for about 20-something years, and I always used to be so envious of that retail way of folding t-shirts, you know? That they have, that they do very quickly, and it shows the whatever's on the chest out front, so you can always tell what it is. Mm-hmm. I still haven't quite yet learned how to do it. But KonMari actually has a thing of folding your shirts so they stand on their side.
What? Oh, it is origami.
Which it is. They're like just strange rectangular blocks of shirts in drawers. And I guess it saves a lot of space and everything, but I'm like, but if I can't see the thing, like I have, you know, a number of t-shirts that have like graphics on them or and whatever but are the same colors, like what if I want to wear this specific graphic t-shirt if it's not to the outside? How would I know which one I'm picking?
That's when you hang it up with the spaces.
But if you only get 3 feet and you've got, you know, pants and button down shirts and stuff,
you don't want to know what my closet looks like. It's color coordinated by length to tank top and finger width.
Nice,
because it's OCD. It's not KonMari.
Well, that is her next, that's actually her next tip is color code your clothes so you can know what you own at a glance, which I did do. I've got the shirts organized by sort of warmth, so short sleeves and then 3/4 sleeves and then long sleeves and then sweaters. But then within those little sections, I just rotate them by wearing them so that I like wear them all evenly.
Okay.
And I try and just like be like, you know what? You don't get to pick what color you're wearing. You just wear whichever one's next so that I don't then wear out my favorites and have the ones I don't really like still left over.
Wow. Makes... You all have systems.
Right?
I have to have a system to keep the craziness at bay.
I just like shove everything to one side, and then if I'm trying to find a shirt, I have to like get in there like a jungle. Push everything over to one end, push it back to the right, and then by that time it's fallen off the hanger, and then it's in the hamper, and...
See, I feel we should have a project at Heidi's place.
Yeah, KonMari, Heidi's that'd place. Be great.
But then the next tip, keep your kitchen sharp. Focus not on ease of use, but on ease of cleaning.
I love this tip.
I love this tip, but also I don't cook, so this tip is not useful to me either way. Like, I'm not focusing on anything in that kitchen except the microwave.
It feels like very opposite. Like, if I'm on Amazon, they're always like, fun new products. And I'm like, wow, it's a toothpick holder that looks like a hedgehog.
Right.
Wow. You can only imagine how hard that is to clean. you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, finding all these fun little, like, it takes the pit out of a cherry, but, like, how do you clean that? I don't even know.
Or, like, Sarah, you're currently into zoodling right now.
Yes.
And you have a zoodle machine. Is that easy to clean?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That's good. Well, Sarah, I should get that one.
Ease of use and ease of cleaning. Actually, Sarah's got it down.
It is. But then, like, Alton Brown, who's on the Food Network, my niece was in love with him for a long time. When she was, like, four, she called him Mr. Alton Brown. But he would say, and my husband would agree with this, don't buy single-use kitchen gadgets. So if it only pits cherries, then why? There's other ways to pit cherries.
Yeah, right. I definitely agree.
Yeah.
But then it also, she also recommends to fill your desk with small delights. And I think this...
Like chocolate?
Yes. Well, that's what gives you joy. But she's talking about your work desk so that, you know, you don't feel just sort of chained to your desk. And is it 5 o'clock? Can I go home yet? But to have things on your desk you see that give you joy to sort of remind you while you're chained to this desk and wishing for it to be 5 o'clock.
Like your before pictures?
Who would those give joy to? I feel like those would give joy to my sister, who would just laugh at me. Aww. Be like, ah, look at how your place used to look. That would probably give her joy. And it would get her through her workday, but it wouldn't necessarily help me. So mine would be possibly like Sarah's chocolates. I need to find a non-sweet way to do that. But then finally, to fill empty spaces with pockets of joy.
What does that mean?
Like Sarah with your grandfather's sweaters, to have them hung out where you can see them regularly.
Oh, okay.
On a wall instead of like art or something, where you have, because you've now hopefully maybe gotten rid of a bunch of stuff, and so your house isn't as cluttered, it might seem empty. So if you put the thing that gives you joy there, you're reminded of both why you got rid of all that stuff and what truly matters to you.
Nice.
Oh, that's cute.
Yes. So we're going to take another short break. Stay tuned.
The average sedan is built with a steel frame and equipped with 6 airbags. Remember this the next time you see someone walking. Drivers, be aware. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety. The average SUV has 2 blind spots, weighs between 4 and 6,000 pounds, and takes about 6 seconds to stop. Remember this the next time you're on foot. Pay attention, people. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety.
Welcome back to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast. Our final topic today on this Japanese Better Concepts of Living is Ikigai. And I do believe that's how it's pronounced, just because I think you do pronounce everything in Japanese. And it's I-K-I-G-A-I, Ikigai, I think.
Sure.
I wouldn't know.
I mean, I should have made Sarah read it, and she could read it with confidence. I'd just be like, that's the one you go with, whatever she said. But Ikigai is the Japanese concept that means reason for being, or essentially, you know, what's the reason of life? So this is usually used to indicate the source of value of one's life or the things that makes one's life worthwhile. And this actually originates in Okinawa, which is one of those places, you know, where people live essentially forever, it seems. All the old people seem to come from Okinawa, or at least Japan. And it's thought of there as a reason to get up in the morning, which I quite like, because along with my chocolate-filled desk, I kind of need a reason to get out of my nice warm bed and go to work. I'm just like, but why?
You mean the chocolate-filled desk isn't the reason?
Can't I just have a chocolate-filled bed? Although that would get messy, so never mind. Yes, so Ikigai is personal to each person, and specific to their lives, values, and beliefs, and reflects the inner self of an individual while simultaneously creating a mental state in which an individual feels at ease. So I think this might tie in a bit sort of like with Ariane's meditation.
Right.
Of having that mental state of mindfulness and peacefulness, but also reason to get out of my hopefully not chocolate-filled bed.
Okay, so I'm just going to throw it out there. Mm-hmm. Why do y'all get out of bed in the morning?
We have things to do, okay?
Right.
We can't break it down like the last subject and just pick 5. We have a million things in our heads.
So maybe we should change it to reason to want to get out of bed in the morning. What would that be? Chocolate?
I can agree with chocolate. Chocolate and a glass of wine. Is that okay?
First thing in the morning.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
That's like the podcast's shared number one reason.
It's chocolate. We all agree chocolate is a reason to want to get out of bed. Does anyone have any others?
I guess when it's like sunny outside, you know, I like to go outside and enjoy the sun and go for a walk, and that's always enjoyable.
I would say for me, my kids there, just showing them, you know, you got get up, be productive, you know, because you are a part of this society and the world. So, you know, it's just showing them to be a productive human being and at the end of the day. So don't just lay in bed all day and make other people take care of you, because I won't be doing that for the rest of your life.
So really your reason is so that your kids can learn to take care of themselves and right. be relaxed.
They can take care of me later when I move to this place where they live to be super old.
Okinawa?
Yes.
Yeah. Just be like, you're paying for me to move to Okinawa. Have fun working for the next 40 years with no retirement.
Right. They'll keep me alive with chocolate.
Yes, that too. But I do like the fact that for Ikigai, one thing that can help for it is even if a person feels that currently their life is meaningless, having a sort of goal of what they want their life to be and having a goal of what they want their reason to want to get out of bed in the morning is can help them feel more closer to that Ikigai sense of mind.
I really love this part of this idea. I feel like it was just powerful to think of not just when you're feeling happy being motivated, but being motivated despite like setbacks or I guess dark, as they say.
Yes.
That itself was very motivating for me, where I was like, I need to get one of these things.
A goal? Yeah, I'm just kidding.
I need to get those loftier goals.
Well, now because we've been talking of chocolate, I'm thinking of the thing where they would tie like the carrot or the dog bone or whatever to your head and you just would run after it and never reach it. Like, I need to do that with the chocolate covered goal for me to run
and
after.
Seen that video on Facebook? I mean, I think it's a joke, but it's a woman who's running and in the back of a hatchback is a guy with money, and if she catches up, he'll hand her a bill. Wow.
I mean, that wouldn't be surprised if that was real.
Yeah, right. I don't know.
I mean, if marathons were advertised like that, I'd probably
right?
sign up for
I
a
might
few
think
more
about
of those.
It, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so to keep with my 10 steps or whatever theme here, because I need an action plan, 10 rules that can help anyone find their own Ikigai. And Ikigai, because it is a cultural thing, it's not like KonMari where it's tied to a specific person. This is just, in general, some suggestions. So stay active and don't retire, which again makes sense if this is coming from Okinawa with all the wonderfully active old people on it. Seriously, I feel so envious. I'll see, like, they talk about, you know, oh, this person's now the world's oldest, whatever. And I'm like, seeing all the things they do. And I'm like, yeah, so I don't even go, like, walking if I don't have to.
What are you doing? Walk at 90 years old.
Right. But then also leave urgency behind and adapt a slower pace of life. So I think that goes along with that sort of Zen thing we were talking about earlier, which is just so very hard for me because it always feels...
Because you need an action plan.
Well, and also my action plan always has like, you know, 1,001 things on it. And then once you add one, take one off, that just leaves room for another one to be added on. It's like that action plan always has to be full. Can't ever have empty spaces. Except for with my clothes. Evidently,
yeah,
that's the goal.
Just your closet.
Only eat until you're 80% full. And I know this is a Japanese concept, Harahachibu, which they have, which is so opposite, I feel, from the way we think about it in America. Like, you think about, especially like with Thanksgiving, you know, of eating till you're stuffed.
Eat through the pain.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know about that.
Right.
Yeah.
I've even heard in France, or I believe it was France, where they'll have a portion, but they're only allowed to have 20 minutes to eat it. And then after your 20 minutes, if you're full or if you just picked at it, that you're done. That's it.
So wouldn't that train people to just plow through their food?
You would think that, right? But they give like the technical proportion. So it's like, oh, a serving is one cup. So there's your serving, but you have your 20 minutes to eat it.
I mean, I do know in France, they don't have our like all-you-can-eat buffets. And they only have, you know, the one plate, which is usually smaller than ours. And they don't do seconds. Mm-hmm. So I think that might also help. It's like whenever you're done with this plate, you're done.
Right.
But then also surround yourself with good friends, get in shape through daily gentle exercise, smile and acknowledge people around you.
Mm-hmm.
That one's hard for me. I'm an introvert. I don't want to look at people. Yeah. I don't want them to look at me.
Have you ever just tried waving or saying hi to somebody randomly? Just in
I've heard of that.
It's weird how it like brights up their eyes, I guess you could say. Like, you can see the smile in their eyes. They're just like, oh, you acknowledged me.
Right? Like, I exist to this person.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is so strange to us just as a culture. I get why it's strange to me, because I don't want to talk to people if I don't have to. But why we as a culture, like, you know, we don't just say hi to random people because strangers are scary.
Stranger danger.
Even when you're, like, you know, whatever age. It's like, fine, you're a six-year-old. Yes, I understand your parents teaching, you know, don't talk to strangers. When you're, like, 26, because my mommy told me so, doesn't quite work.
I had some friends in college do a social experiment where they'd find people jogging, and whenever they'd run past them, they'd give them, like, a high five and try and cheer them on. And
wow.
Some people just, like, avoided them.
Oh, really?
Or, like, people were just so taken aback by the fact that they were being cheered on by a stranger. And I was like, that's so sad.
Huh. Maybe they take offense to it, like, you're mocking my running or something.
Yeah, because I always am a little brightened up where it's just like, I don't know this person. I've never seen this person before in my life. But, like, you know, I'm going out the door. They're coming in and they're like, hi, how are you? And I'm like, oh, hi, thanks. I'm just like, wait, what? Hi, how are you? Oh, I smile. And then I think it's part of that thing of, like, you know, sort of that smile, fake it till you make it thing. If you keep smiling, you do eventually feel happy. But at the same time, it's like, oh, I'm not invisible. Oh, that's so sweet.
I feel like maybe sometimes when people say hi, sometimes, not always, I feel like, oh man, what do they want? They've got a petition. They've got something they want to sell me. They've got something they want to talk about. And I'm just like, no, I'm just here. I just came to Target for laundry detergent.
Right.
I came out with 800 things, but I don't want to talk to you.
Right. I don't have time for this.
But when it's just a hi, it's nice. But I feel like so many times the hi is followed up with, hey, you want a XYZ?
Yeah. True.
Like, if it's for all of our health, I guess I'll just start saying hi to you all.
Okay, just us.
Oh, but then I also feel it's hard if you smile and say hi and they don't respond back. It's just like,
Yeah, that happens to me a lot.
I feel like it's when they say it and then they kind of leave it open for you to respond. So you're just like, do I say hi back? Do I have to ask you a question?
Right.
How's your day? I don't care. Or if you don't, you know, so you're just like, hi, have a good day. Leave it at that and then just move on.
Right, exactly. But continuing with our tips, do give thanks to anything that brightens your day and makes you feel alive. Reconnect with nature, live in the moment, and then the final tip is follow your ikigai, which I feel is like, I don't know if I want to say it's a catch-22 of a tip, but it's like, so the way to get to my ikigai is to follow my ikigai.
Right.
Is this like an invisible friend / spirit or something that's leading me along this path and I just keep following it and it'll eventually get me there? Like, how does that work?
Plus, I keep hearing you say icky guy, and I don't want to follow the icky guy.
Oh, we now need to come up with a nickname for icky guy so Sarah will want to follow it, because there's no stranger danger there either.
Nice guy.
He'll say hi to you.
follow your bliss.
The nice guy who says hi and smiles and doesn't want to sell you anything and gives you free laundry detergent and chocolate. Follow that guy.
End up dead in a ditch. I just know it.
Okay. And on that cheerful note, we're going to end for today. Thank you for listening to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Health and Wellness Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.